In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And if you're ever passing by, we have worship services at 9 a.m. as well as 10:15 Sunday morning, as well as 6 o'clock Sunday evening. We have Bible studies on Wednesday as early as 6:30 up till 8 o'clock. And we would love for you to come by. And if you're a man, we've got some wonderful men's groups, particularly one on Saturday at 7:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock with donuts and coffee. You can get more information by calling the church or visiting our website, brooksidebc.org. Now, we're picking up where we left off about some special commands the Lord is giving to Moses up on the mountain, particularly regarding the altars of sacrifices, one made of earth and one made of stone. Now, altars for offerings made it possible for individuals to worship and meet God, the tabernacle, the temple, etc. This goes back to the garden. Altars imply the sinfulness and separation of men from God. Now, Genesis 3:21 was the first sacrifice, and that came on the heels of Adam's sin and Eve's deception and the sin of the serpent. Genesis 3:21, and also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, let's be clear. You cannot make tunics of skin without killing an animal. Here, Adam and Eve were facing a death sentence for eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It says, in that day, God said, you shall surely die. But there they are, standing and living. But there was a death that day. And that death, I believe, was a sacrificial lamb, which the pre-incarnate Christ, who was there, presented to them what was necessary for their sin, a substitutionary sacrifice, a bloody death. And that pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. Think for a moment here. The pre-incarnate Christ, knowing one day he would be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, on the heels of Adam's sin, he, Christ that is, shows them the way to be reconciled through a bloody sacrifice. And this was the first sacrifice. And so God skinned that animal, took that animal skin, put them on Adam and Eve, and symbolically showed how they are now covered with the righteousness of God. They've been forgiven through this sacrifice. Genesis 4:3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, you need to understand something. This particular phrase, and in the process of time, essentially puts us at the end of the growing season. And so Cain and Abel are bringing first offerings, first fruits. And Cain brings low-hanging fruit. He brings the fruit of the ground. He didn't give God his best. And that's why it's rejected. This is not about how both needed to bring a bloody sacrifice. Not at all. They were to bring their respected sacrifices for the work they've done, and they were to give the best to the Lord. Now, the first time the word altar is used is Genesis 8:20. Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, Exodus 20:24, an altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep, your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. So we see that there's two altars, earth and stone. And there's two sacrifices, burnt and peace. The worshiper cannot approach without their sacrifice. They cannot go before the Lord without a sacrifice. The sacrifice is not for God. He doesn't need the sacrifice. It is for the worshiper to be representing that sacrifice that they need to be covered in the blood of the Lamb. Notice the additional phrase, every place where I record my name, cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you, I will bless you. And then a great example is Shiloh in Jeremiah 7:12. And this is the point. You don't just go anywhere and set up an altar and sacrifice and start doing this in the Old Testament. There were places that God designated for this to be done. Now, national worship has a designated location prescribed by the Lord. First the tabernacle, then the temple. And this is really important in the progression of what God is giving through Revelation. Now, it's true. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they offer to the Lord directly. But things are changing. God is moving these individuals now in, as a family into a nation. And the nation is going to be established as God's kingdom, a theocracy on earth. And now God had specific rules to be followed. Now, what does it mean to profane? Now, I got to stress this as we look at this uncut stones and how they're not to use any kind of tools to profane it. What's going on here? Well, first I want to stress this is worship apart from works. To profane something is to defile it and desecrate it. For example, the pagans at the time of this being written, and certainly even today or before Moses, pagans created elaborate shrines, which was a testimony to their pride and their works. Deuteronomy 27:5, and there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings and you shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. So again, God is telling them, do not use a tool on these stones. And again, why? Because God doesn't want this altar to be profaned by the work of men. The altar is a work of God. Joshua 8:30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel, Mount Ebal, as Moses, a servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel. As is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. There it is again. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord, sacrifice peace offerings. And there in the presence of the throne of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with the elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, the other half in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. So again, reminding the people of Israel that the altar should not be profaned with cutting tools. Now what? There's further significance. And as I said, it's worship apart from works. The altar is not something that you make or improve upon. Just like the cross, there's nothing there except the cross and Christ's sacrifice. But there's a greater significance for us on this side of the cross. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're starting to see on the New Testament side, there is no altar of earth or altar of stone, literally, that has to be constructed. Rather yet, we give our life, we lay down our life in obedience to Lord Jesus Christ for him, for the church, and for the lost. This is our reasonable service. And that is done not by works. We were saved by grace through faith. So when you lay down your life, this isn't something you merit. You're not earning salvation in this. This is the fruit of your salvation. And you are giving your life to God. Now, let me read 1 Peter 2:4 that gives us even more insight. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I think this passage unlocks everything. You are a living stone. And you come to God as a living stone. You come to God in faith as he made you into the living stone. You didn't make yourself your own stone. You didn't wield some tool of work in your life. So now you can present yourself by your works a living stone. That's the whole idea. I think that's the picture behind these uncut stones. Christ was picturing as far back as Moses, this living stone concept that we come as a work of God rather than a work of man. And we come as a living sacrifice. No longer are we putting oxes and lambs on an altar. We're putting our life in the hands of God and laying it down to serve him. These are incredible truths. And the question for you is, do you live this way? How can you demonstrate that you are a living sacrifice? Because if you're not, if you're living for self in rebellion to God's word, you're not a living sacrifice. You're a vessel of dishonor, or worse, you may not even be saved at all. You may be trusting in your works, thinking somehow you're 51% good, and therefore that gets you into heaven. Let me tell you, brother and sister, there's only one work God will ever accept for heaven, and that is the work of Christ on the cross. His death and resurrection prove that that was the only sacrifice and work that God will ever accept as payment for sin. And if you're trying to pay for your sin, you're going to fall woefully short, because any work you do apart from Christ is tainted with your sin. And so you come in faith through the work of Christ as a living stone. Now, what's this question about steps and dress? Exodus 20, 26, "Nor shall you go up by my steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it." So no steps means no nakedness. Now, why is nakedness an issue here? Genesis 2:25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Genesis 3:7, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." Genesis 9:22, another passage, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah woke from his wine, knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, 'Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren.' And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and may Canaan be a servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. And may Canaan be a servant.'" Additional insights, Exodus 20:42, "And you shall make for them priest linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from their waist to the thighs." Now, in the future, there will be an exception, the millennial kingdom, possibly due to its large size. But here's the bottom line. Pagans would dress in very little clothing or be naked. Pagans would have stepped to their altars. God was setting a different standard. He was not going to be like the pagans. Worshiping God would be done wholly. There would be the completely different standard in place. And so this is to separate, once again, Israel from the Canaanites and the pagans. God has wisdom. We must follow it. And when we follow his wisdom, that leads to a life of holiness and dignity before our God, rather than nakedness and ashamedness because of our guilt and sin. So I'll end with this. Have you repented and put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? If you have not, I pray that when this is over, you stop, pull over your car, and take the time to cry out to God and say, "Save me, I am a sinner." And then get to a local church, get discipled, read your Bible, start praying and growing in God's Word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.